Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. If you got your Bible, well, I don't even know if you need to get your Bible because I got three different places I'm going. If you think you're fast enough, you're welcome to. It don't matter to me. Amen. Praise God. But I think the graphics people are faster than we are. Amen. I'm going to begin reading Isaiah 44 and 3. This is God speaking through his prophet Isaiah, and he says, "For I will pour water." Amen. Everybody say, "I will pour." God saying, "I will pour water upon him that is thirsty." Not just anybody, not a spectator, not somebody that's full. Amen. Not somebody full of pride, where they can't reach for God. But he said, upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I'm going to pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring. I like stuff like that, especially the older I get. Amen. Kids and grandkids. Amen. Joel 2 and 28. "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will," everybody say, "pour." "I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." Amen. "Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions." Acts 2 and 15. "For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day." But this is that we just read, that was spoken by the prophet Joel. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will," what is he going to do? "I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy." Amen. Isaiah 44 and 3, one more time. He said, "I'm going to pour water upon him that is thirsty." Can I say it like this? I'm going to flood the dry ground. I'm going to pour upon the thirsty. And I'm going to flood the dry ground. Amen. I want to preach a little while from this title, "The Prerequisite of a Downpour." Amen. Set your Bibles down and lift your hands and your voices to the Lord. Come on, prayer warriors, help me pray right now in the name of Jesus. We need your help in this house. We need your strength, God. Oh, Ramasharamosa. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, why don't you join up with somebody? I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. I feel a downpour about to happen. Oh, I feel somebody walked in thirsty. And they're going to walk out full. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, hold on for one moment to what you're feeling. Come on, there's a miracle in this place. There's a miracle in this place. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Somebody shout, the devil's a liar. Say it again, the devil's a liar. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I want to preach, if you'll help me for just a few minutes, about everybody say the prerequisite of a downpour. Man, I used to not like the word prerequisite because it was something that got in my way when I wanted to get somewhere. Man, all through school, I wanted to try to finish as fast as I could and graduate as soon as I could, and I did at 16, but there was always these things in my way called prerequisites. And I said, just go ahead and let me take 12th grade English. And they said, no, you got to take 10th grade English first. And when you're done, you got to take 11th grade English. And these are prerequisites. When I got in college, I said, just let me take whatever, the most advanced course, and go ahead and get my degree. Just act like I've done it all. And they were like, no, there's prerequisites you got to take. And I said, can I take biology too? Go ahead and start with that. And they'd say, no, you can't do that. You got to start with biology one. That's a prerequisite. You got to do this. And they would try to explain to me why. There's building blocks of learning. And if you skip over it, you're going to mess up. And there was always, I felt like something in my way. Amen. Maybe for the impatient, maybe could say amen. Praise God. Amen. There was prerequisites. And so I began to read this. I was actually going to preach this last Sunday night. I felt the Holy Ghost would deal with me about this, but then I felt, you know what? I think somebody's going to shout me out, and I'll just hold on to this. And the Lord began to deal with me this afternoon about, amen, what it takes to get a downpour. Yeah, hallelujah. You know what? You know what our church needs? You know what our city needs? You know what people on the pews need right now? They need a downpour. Hallelujah. You know what? You know what would help all your problems out? Help your bank account, help your marriage, and help your work, and help everything. If you just got a downpour every now and then, hallelujah, it'll change everything. Remember, I began to read this last Sunday afternoon, and this scripture come to me. God was saying, I'm going to pour water, but I'm going to pour water upon the one that's thirsty. In other words, the one that's got the water in his hand. The one that controls the valve of the downpour. The one that can open it and shut it anytime he wants to. Said, I'm going to let a downpour happen upon the one that gets thirsty for it. Hallelujah. Amen. Then he began to say in floods. Everybody say floods. Floods. I don't know if I like downpours better or I like floods better. But he said, I'm going to make floods happen upon the, everybody say the dry ground. Dry ground has an opposite that's called saturated. This is Brother Billy and Google approved numbers, so don't question me. The average person out there, this is not me for sure, sleeps 9.1 hours a day. They work 8.4 hours a day. They look at social media 2.23 hours a day. And they watch Hollywood 4 hours a day, which adds up to 23.73 hours, which leaves 15 minutes to do the laundry, to cook, to eat, to say hello to the kids, to take them to school, to pay the bills, get your tags renewed. Praise God. There's Brother Philip. To find a girlfriend. Amen. You know what that means? That means life is saturated. Oh, hallelujah. They say, I wonder why there's no downpours like there used to be. Wonder why there's no 2-hour altar calls anymore. Let me tell you why. There ain't time for it anymore. People have allowed their calendar to become so saturated that there's no room for anything else. If God wanted you to wait 15 more minutes to touch Him, you couldn't do it because you got to get home to work on your work before tomorrow starts. Yeah. Hey, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. You know what I think it's time to do? It's time to shake off some heavy bands. Hallelujah. If you ain't got time to pray, you ain't got time to play. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you ain't got time to come to church, put your basketball up. Kind of getting quiet now. Get your Xbox and throw it in the trash. If you ain't got time to do what you need to do, take your fishing boat and put it on Facebook. If you ain't got time to be what God called you to be, hey, we're too saturated and we're missing out. Come on, somebody, lift your hands to the Lord right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Boy, I feel Jesus in this place. Thank God for the blessings. Amen, but people got so many automobiles and lawnmowers and weed eaters and chainsaws, and they got to change the oil and everything. They've got so many things they got to take care of and maintain. They ain't got time to maintain their soul. They got so much work, they can't even make it to God's house. Well, I felt something kick back right there. Hey, man, they got so many blessings. Hey, man, they ain't got time to wait on God anymore. Or could I say it like this? They've got so many toys that's got them in so much debt that they ain't got time to give God anything left. You know what I say? Get rid of all of it. If it keeps you from doing what you have to do, if it keeps you from touching God, hey man, shake some things off. It's getting kind of tight in here, but it's going to be all right. Hey, man, before I started pastoring for 2 years, I was in debt over $1 million in land and homes, and God began to deal with me. I had trucks and cars, and I began to talk to my wife, and I said, honey, I don't know what's going on, but we need to downsize. I don't know what's going on, but I feel like I'm just going in circles trying to pay the bank. And I ain't got time to. Can't remember when I taught somebody a Bible study. Hey man, but I'm going running to and fro trying to make sure the banker still loves me. Hey man, we got to do something different. I don't know why I'm preaching this, but I'm going to preach this. Hey man, in prayer, I began to talk to her and I said, we got to get rid of some of this stuff. We had rent houses and all kind of, I ain't got a problem with anything. Do what you got to do. Everybody needs to make a living. But for me, I was running like a wild man. Just trying to keep the bank account They say in the black is or in the red. I don't know what the difference is. Yeah, the good one. The one with a plus beside it. Hallelujah. Amen. And I told her, we're going to have to do something different. I don't know. I just feel something in my spirit. We started selling houses and selling land. I sold my big old Z71. We bought one little red Toyota Camry. And me and her in our 30s were sharing one little car. And it was hard. What I didn't know is God had a bigger plan for me. I didn't know I wasn't going to have time to work 100 hours a week to keep the bills paid when God had bigger plans. Boy, I feel Jesus right now. I'm telling you, the more I simplified my life, the closer to Jesus I felt. Amen. The more I simplified my life, amen, the more downpours of the Holy Ghost I got. Amen. Oh, I feel Jesus. Come on, somebody lift your hands right now. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I had an RV park in Conway, Arkansas. Amen, and it was just, I was running over there every day. Somebody's sewer wasn't working. Somebody's water wasn't working. And some this and something that. Hey, man, I was sitting there thinking, you know what? I need to be over here finishing this house and doing this and doing that. And I'm running back and forth. And praise God. Hallelujah. You know what? You can get so saturated. Your life can get so full of stuff. That you can't even focus on God. You walk in a stranger every Sunday morning. Trying to introduce yourself to Jesus Christ. Oh, it's getting tight. This is not what I plan to preach, but I'm going to preach in a little while. Amen. The Holy Ghost is leading me right now. Amen. The writer would say to get rid of not just the sin. You know you got to get rid of sin. That's not even your choice. You got to quit sinning. But the writer said you need to get rid of the weights. What is the weight? It's something that gets on you and it slows you down on your race. It's called a handicap in this city. Amen, but they put weights on you. Amen, to try to even it out where you can't go to. I'm telling you, we're not running horses today. We're trying to make it to heaven today. And my Bible said, Get rid of everything that would so easily beset you. You know what you're going to figure out? When you simplify, you're going to find a downpour. I don't know why I can't move forward right now. I really do have a message to preach, but I'm hung up. Somebody tricked the church into believing we had to have everything the world has. Hey man, I grew up 3-bedroom, 1.5 bath house, 6 kids, mom and dad, and it usually 3 or 4 strays to go with us. We was poor and didn't know it. My wife, she said, you never close the cereal bag right. I said, honey, I've never closed a cereal bag in my life. When I grew up, if they set a box of cereal in front of us, we ate every Cocoa Pebble in it. We threw it in the trash when we left. I didn't know you were supposed to go to Starbucks for breakfast. I didn't know you had to go to 501 Prime every time you felt like it. Boy, I'm hung up now. When you start living above your means and you got to run around circles, you didn't have to run. And when you start running places you shouldn't have had to run. Well, I ain't got time to pray today. My Lord, I got a busy schedule. Let me tell you, I got a busy schedule too. But I'm not too busy to come and pray. Because I know every time I don't, or every time I think I don't, the Lord turns my little apple cart upside down. Amen. Praise God. I always come in the morning, then I come in the sometimes middle of the day, and I always come at night. Amen. The other morning, I thought, man, I got people waiting on me at the church. And, amen, they need me to make all these crucial decisions and all this stuff. And I thought, man, I need to go. And I got there, and I got busy, and I didn't get to go in the morning. Got busy at lunch, and I didn't get to go at lunch. And it's about 2 or 3 in the afternoon. I told my wife, I need you to come over here to look at something. I don't even remember what it was. We was going to do something. There's a lot of interior design stuff I don't really care about. I'll give you some wisdom, pick your battles, and that ain't one of them. Praise God. Amen. I said, come up here and look at something. So she wheels in and runs over a board. Puts two nails in the sidewall. And ain't nobody knows except me why she done ran over two nails and ruined a brand new tire. I thought, I know why she just ruined that tire. She said, did I run over that? Probably not. It was probably an angel slid it over there to you and let you run over it so this old boy would know. You ain't ever too busy to go by that house of prayer. Hallelujah. You know what I'm doing? I'm just pouring my heart out to you. Amen. Every time in my life that I begin to prioritize things out there as opposed to things inside here, God has always grabbed me by my ankles and picked me up upside down and shook me, amen, till I didn't know what to do. Hallelujah. What? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 12 honest people in there. No. Hallelujah. I know people got to make a living. Please do not misunderstand me. Some people are in the rent house business. Some people may be in the camper business. I don't know. People are in all kinds of business. And I'm not talking about business. I'm talking about saturation. I'm talking about temperate in all things. I'm talking about balance in all things. I know you got to work. If you don't work, you're worse than the infidels, what the Bible said. If you don't provide for your family, that's awful. You got to work, but then you got to balance. Well, I'm way off in the woods right now. Helen, you know where, if I make an error, you know where I'm going to make an error? I'm going to make it on the spiritual side of things. I've seen too many times where God made up the difference in everything that I did when I made the right decision. And I've seen too many times when I thought, boy, I'm brilliant. I'm going to figure this out. I won't get to go to church for 3 weeks, Amen. But because I got this deal, but I'm going to figure this out. You know what? God figured me out. And I come crawling back on my hands and knees and say, God, I'm dumb and you're smart. Amen. Let's just go ahead and do it your way. What do you think? Amen. Order my steps in your word, dear Lord. Because I don't want to do it myself. I don't want to make a mess of my life. I don't want to mess my family up. I don't want to mess my name up. I don't want to mess this church up. Hallelujah. I want the power. Everybody say the power. The power. I've never been so blessed in my life as the times that I got ultra committed to God. I know there's tests you go through and financial trials. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about life for life. Amen. Every time I put God first, it works out. Amen. Do you believe this Bible's right? Do you believe it's right? Do you believe you can seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Do you still believe God's big enough to add all these things? Do you think that's an old story that don't work no more? Do you believe we're a generation where God ain't gonna help us anymore? I don't believe that for 1 minute. I believe when we get unsaturated. You ever watched it rain 3 or 4 or 5 days in a row? And the ground becomes so saturated. You just step out on it and it's just moves under your feet. The ground is saturated. If you ever get saturated ground and a rain comes, it can't receive it. And it causes what they call runoff, which creates mudslides, which creates all kinds of problems. How did it happen? It's because the ground got to a point where there wasn't room to receive anything. I'm telling you, in your mind, when you get to that place, that's a scary place. I don't have room to put all my stuff. I'm going to tear down my barns. And I'll build them again. No, you might not. I feel the Spirit of God in this place. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something. If you're going to get something from God, there's going to have to be some dry ground in your spirit. Listen to me. If you ever lay down to pray and a thought goes through your mind, then another thought, and then another thought. You know what that is? It's the enemy trying to saturate. Boy, I feel Jesus in this place. You know what you have to learn how to do? Whatever it takes to get your downpour. You might have to leave your phone out in the truck. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. You may have to let some things go in your life for it to really downpour like you want it to. I've watched people, Brother Yancey, and I watched them come to the altar. And I'm not saying I know everything because I don't, but I can just about look at somebody and tell you whether it's going to happen or it ain't. I've just learned how to detect thirst.
I've learned how to detect people that wanting it's one thing. Just, I'd sure like to have a touch of God. When God looks at the heart and it's saturated. I'm going to tell you, this social media will put garbage in your mind. I'm telling you, God spoke to me one day. And he said, Instagram is a grove. I'll tell you, there's nothing wrong with a grove within itself. There ain't nothing wrong with a pine tree. There ain't nothing wrong with a fir tree. There ain't nothing wrong with 100 of them growing beside each other. But when the children of Israel go up there and begin to worship idols in it, it's a problem. God began to deal with me. The children of God, they wouldn't know who Taylor was. Ooh. If it wasn't for, you know, our Holy Ghost social media. Praise God. What? Hey, there's a lot of good things on there. There's a lot of good things I'd like to learn. Well, hallelujah. A lot of good videos I could probably watch and learn how to make beautiful Corinthian columns so I don't have to buy any. But I'm going to have to buy some. There's a lot of good things I would love. But you know what? If I did everything I wanted to do, if I went on every vacation I wanted to go on, if I bought every truck that I said, wow, that's a nice truck. If I bought every, you know what? I'd work four jobs and become so saturated that we would come here and there would be nothing for God to touch. I'm plowing right now. I don't know if you know what's happening, but I'm plowing right now. When you start plowing, rocks turn up. Potatoes turn up too. Sometimes you gotta plow to get some good stuff. Hey man, sometimes you need something to plow through your heart to figure out what's going on in your life. Why am I going through what I'm going through? Preached a message one time. There's no room for Jesus. Joseph and Mary, hey, I need a room. I'm sorry. There's no rooms available. And had no idea what they were turning away. God manifests in the flesh. We know that story because we read it. It makes sense. Why did they do that? Why didn't Mary go ahead and tell him? Hey, I had an angel come to me. Hey, I need a room. I had an angel come to me. This ain't just going to be any baby. This is Emmanuel. God with us. Amen. But they said, there's no room. Why? Why is there no room? Because I rented that one out to Tom. That one out to John. And the Smiths are there. If you knew it was Jesus, what do you got to do? We ain't got any Smiths in here, do we? Sister Heather ain't here. That's a perfect night to not be here. Smiths, come on out. I'm sorry to tell you this. You got to go. Tom. What are you talking about? You got to learn how to make some room. If you don't ever make room, he'll just go on down to the next spot. I no intention preaching this, but I'm just going to preach a while. Let me tell you, the candlestick, the light, never is extinguished. God moves it from place to place. Eli, if it's not important to you, if keeping it going is not important, you got too many other things you and your boys to do, I'll just move right over here. And I'll find somebody else who wants the light. I feel the Holy Ghost. You know what? I'm praying for revival in every family. I'm praying for revival in every marriage. I'm praying for blessings in every career, every banking. I pray it every day. But the Lord keeps dealing with me. When there's room, I'll show up. When I find some dry ground that's not saturated with hatred and busyness, I want a downpour. I'm looking for a downpour. Greatest downpour ever experienced was in a little upper room on a day of Pentecost. But there was a prerequisite for the downpour. It was 120 people in unity, in one accord, in one place, wanting the same thing. And they prayed for 10 days. Did you hear that? 10 days. Can you imagine somebody saying, we're going to lock in for 10 days. Don't go to work. Don't go to the store. Man, we'd be an internet sensation. They'd say, them people, you talking about a cult. They're in a room all by themselves. They've shut the door. They've been in there already. 9 days. Pastor Simon Peter, he must be controlling. I can't believe them people are even listening to that. They're going to lose their fishing jobs. They ain't going to have a career by the time they get out of there. I'm not proposing 10 days for all the people on the internet. I'm making a point. What the people did, they probably looked like clowns to everybody else. But you know what they were doing? They were getting unsaturated. It don't matter if the fish are biting if you ain't going fishing anyway. You know, this was the prerequisite. This is what happened before the greatest downpour ever. 120 gathered together in unity. They loved each other. They were there to help each other. And they were obedient to what God said. He said, go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. Wait till you be endued with power from on high. Now, do you believe God is any respecter of persons? I don't believe it for 1 minute. You know what I believe? If anybody got as determined as they were, they would get what they got. Come on. You know what the problem with the Bible is? It's old school. It's ancient, matter of fact. They make popcorn the old way. Some of y'all won't even know what I'm talking about. This is how you used to make popcorn. You put kernels in a big pan. You put butter in the bottom. And you turn the fire on. And you just shake. Oh, don't shake me. I don't want nobody. And you kept on until it happened. See, we got this spirit that says, let me just take this bag and put it in the microwave and hit the popcorn button. You know how long it is? It's got its own button. Popcorn. Go do your chores. Come back. Get your popcorn. Yeah. And they're like, it don't even really taste that good. It tasted better when you had to work for it. Yeah. There wasn't nothing like tarrying over the stove for a pan of popcorn. Got done. Is that the last one? How long did it take? Anybody remember? Anybody? I know you're old enough to know there's people in here. Amen. 10 minutes? I don't remember. It took a while. Ten minutes for popcorn. Can I just preach for 5 minutes? If you think 3 minute altar calls are going to make it happen, we're not going to have downpours like they used to have. If you think 5 minute prayer meetings are going to get it done, you're not going to get a downpour like they used to get. But you got to get some dry ground in your spirit. What takes so long? You know what takes the longest time? Is getting the garbage out. Everything that would prevent you from getting the downpour, that's what takes the longest. Four and a half more minutes. When I got the Holy Ghost, before I got the Holy Ghost, I was in a room all by myself and I began to pray. And I didn't pray 2 minutes because I'd already lived 27 years of idiocy. Nobody say amen. It took more than 2 minutes to get rid of 27 years of idiot. It took more than 20 minutes to get rid of all the garbage that was in my spirit. It took more than an hour to get rid of the junk that had wrapped its web around my mind. It took more than an hour and a half for me to get my thinking right. Amen. But I prayed, and 2 hours later, oh, Lord, I don't think y'all wanted to hear that. 2 hours later, all of a sudden, I began to feel the peace that passeth all understanding. Aaron, come here and tell them how long it took you to get the Holy Ghost.
Well, we had service at 5 o'clock, and I prayed and I prayed, and at 10:30 that night, I finally got the Holy Ghost.
feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Think about a miracle waiting to fall in your lap. But there just wasn't enough room. The heart was too saturated. The life was too full. Well, I feel Jesus right now. What would it profit a man to gain the whole world and to lose his soul? I'll tell you, it didn't profit him nothing. He destroyed his own self by allowing himself to become so full. I feel it as I'm preaching right now. I read one time that there's more moisture, more water in the atmosphere than there is on the earth. I've stood at the ocean. I've gotten a fishing boat and drove for hours. And all you could see was water everywhere. That was just a little piece of a little. And they'll tell you there's more in the atmosphere than there is in all the oceans and rivers and streams and creeks on the earth. And God's got his hand on it. And sometimes he opens it. And sometimes he closes. I feel this in the Holy Ghost. There's more promises than your mind can even conceive. There's more miracles than your mind could even go there. But if God were to do that, would it even be received? Are we so saturated that if God's Spirit began to settle on you, could you even clear your mind from all the garbage long enough to? I'm done. I've delivered my soul. God, let us see it. Come on, in the name of Jesus.